morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football today, and there's so much to talk about. From the Packers preseason finale last night to the final 53-man rosters today. Michael on the live blog even comments already, I know this says 53-man roster prediction, but can we please just talk about James Jones? There's a lot to get to. I'll try to get to as much as possible today. Seeing as it was the final preseason game last night, let's recap that a little bit, talk about some of the major storylines coming away from that game. The biggest one had to be the play of backup quarterback Graham Harrell, who had a perfect game last night. Yes, he had football's version of a perfect game. Perhaps he wasn't quite Felix Hernandez, but Graham Harrell having a perfect passer rating last night of 158.3. Kind of an odd number, but that is as good as you can get for a perfect game or the perfect passer rating in football. After throwing, saying I forget the exact statistics off the top of my head, but I think he completed 13 of 15 passes for over 200 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Looks great, right? I mean, who was that guy last night? What, did Aaron Rodgers switch to number 6? Did he all fool us? No, I'm just kidding. I mean, Graham Harrell, he deserves the credit. He silenced the critics. There was all this, you know, discussion, debate, whether the Packers would keep Graham Harrell or have to, you know, go in another direction to back up Aaron Rodgers, whether they needed to, acquire a veteran backup, whether it was the waiver wire or a trade or what have you. And finally, I think all that speculation could be put to rest that Graham Harrell looked good last night. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He doesn't have the arm strength of Aaron Rodgers or even B.J. Coleman, but, you know, he got the job done last night. And I think that was really evident when you saw him throw that pass up the seam to JerMichael Finley. All of a sudden, he's surrounded by a couple first-stringers, and I think some of the starters were out of the game by that time. But here you go. You got an athletic freak like JerMichael Finley to throw the ball to, and you see what Graham Harrell can do when he's surrounded by a little bit of talent. And so he does a great job. And, I mean, he leads the Packers to, what was it, 3 touchdown drives, 2 of them ending in touchdown passes, another on the ground to Alex Green. But there you go. I mean, Graham Harrell pretty much ending any speculation that there may be some sort of movement, I think. You know, there's, I suppose you can't base your whole, you know, future on one game, but I mean, it would be really tough for the Packers to make a move, I think, just for the simple fact, too, that, you know, I mean, if the Packers go out and get somebody else, I mean, that person doesn't even know the offense. You're going out on a limb that if Aaron Rodgers were to get hurt in week one, then you're going to bring in a backup quarterback that, you know, doesn't know the offense and is going to hurt you more than help you, perhaps. So there's that to factor in, too. Graham Harrell, good job last night. Good for him. Anyhow. Other guys looking good last night. Sam Shields, how about that? Grabs an interception last night. Acting aggressive in his tackling. Looks like the message finally sunk in. Second game in a row with an interception for Sam Shields. Doing a great job. Absolutely fantastic last night. You know, he made a statement that he could be the starter at cornerback. I don't know if that's going to happen. Maybe, maybe not. I kind of have this feeling they're going to do a timeshare again like they did in the playoffs last year. Jared Bush maybe playing early down, Sam Shields late down. I don't know. I just feeling that, you know, or maybe it's based upon matchups, you know, who they like against different teams, different players. But Anyhow, Sam Shields looking good. That's certainly a step in the right direction. Kudos to him and you know, picking things up and turning it on. On the negative side of the ledger, how about the very first play from scrimmage? BJ Raji goes down in a heap, has to be attended to by trainers, twists his left ankle. The good news, got up under his own power, or left the field under his own power. Seen with ice on his ankle on the sideline. We don't know the severity of the injury. You know, I'm here to think that it's not severe because, you know, he did walk off the field under his own power. That being said, I mean, you know, it was an ankle sprain, and even if you could walk off the field, that, you know, there still can be problems. Jamie George says, and they never took him to the locker room, right? Right. Yeah, correct. I mean, you know, so that's good news. I mean, it's hard to underestimate any injury, but, it wasn't a good thing, certainly, that BJ Raji missed some time last night, at the very minimum. And you know, it goes back to this whole value of the preseason, and you know, is it worth it to even play your starters? I mean, all it took was one play for Raji to get hurt last night, and now you wonder, wow, should you play him at all? And I understand that, and I do think there's value to preseason games. I just wish there was two of them instead of four. Seriously, I mean, that's where I'm at right now. How about Cedric Benson fumbling? You know, there's all this concern about Cedric Benson and his fumble proneness. Is that a word, proneness? I don't know, but anyhow, he had 12 fumbles in the past two seasons, and then all it took was one carry last night, and he's fumbling again. Thankfully, the Packers recovered and maintained possession, but a little bit of a concern there that this is going to be a guy who's going to turn the ball over. Not exactly something that's happened a lot in the Mike McCarthy era. Haven't had running backs who've put the ball on the ground very much. Little bit of concern. Not going to get too carried away with one fumble, but it's in the back of people's minds right now. Now that he's actually done it, you know, fumbled, and it's on the record. So. We'll wait till the regular season when the games count and make some judgments then. But yeah, I mean, Michael wanted us to talk about James Jones here. So there's a whole rumor that, I mean, first of all, speculation that the Packers are going to trade James Jones has been around for about 2 years now, maybe even longer than that. So I tend to like ignore these things that have been, I've heard a zillion million times. There's almost a day that doesn't go by that I'm not asked on Twitter about the Packers trading James Jones. But anyhow, the rumors were renewed yesterday when in the Miami Sun Sentinel, I believe it is, and reporter Omar Kelly saying that the Miami Dolphins are actively trying to trade for a wide receiver, including for Packers wide receiver James Jones. The rumor that they're actively trying to trade for him, and of course there's the whole connection between Joe Philbin, the former Packers offensive coordinator for the past several seasons, now the head coach in Miami. The connection there makes it kind of plausible. The Miami Dolphins have some issues at wide receiver, to be sure, makes that plausible. So, you know, it could happen. It could happen. You know, I would say there's a better than a 50% chance it won't happen. You know, sorry to burst people's bubble if you were hoping for it, but it certainly wouldn't surprise me if it did. I almost like give this, one third it does happen, two thirds it doesn't, or maybe 60-40, 60 it doesn't happen, 40 it does. But that's not 10%. That's not a 1% chance of happening. You know, there is a legitimate chance of something happening here. And, yeah, there's kind of been, apparently the Dolphins, and I'm not an expert on the Dolphins here, but apparently they have extra second and third round picks next year, which makes you think they have a little bit of ammunition to work with as well. And what will they do with those picks? Will they send the Packers a third or a fourth? Man, I would love the Packers to get a second-round draft choice for James Jones if I'm the Packers, if I'm Ted Thompson. I would probably even accept a third. I think if the Dolphins were to offer that, I think you got to take it. I think you take it. You know, hopefully you hope for the second, but I take the third. I don't know what the Packers got to do to get a second out of them. But, you know, you take that offer, I think. The Packers have so much depth at the wide receiver position. They got a lot of guys there fighting for roster spots. And I tell you, now kind of, you know, kind of transitioning here into the 53-man roster part of the show, I don't know what the Packers do at wide receiver, and certainly if they were to trade James Jones, that kind of throws a whole monkey wrench into the things. Right after the show, I'm going to publish my 53-man roster predictions. I've kind of been working on them all morning here after last night's game, and there's a lot of tough calls, and wide receiver might be the toughest, you know, partially because of the trade rumors, partially because the Packers are just so deep. You know, it's really hard to see what the Packers are going to do there. Do they keep five? Do they keep six? I can't see him keeping seven, even though that's been thrown out there this offseason. So, you know, Greg Jennings, Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, they're locks. And even though some people out there are in support of getting rid of Donald Driver, I'm sorry, folks. He's a lock for the roster. If for no other reason, for no other reason than they gave him guaranteed money for, what was it, $1.2 million. You know, if you go ahead and cut him, you're just throwing that money out the window. And you know, if Jones is gone, you know, there's a... You know, Donald Driver's done nothing to show he can't play anymore. A great season last year, I thought, you know, for his age, at least. But I still think he's better than the average NFL receiver last year. Better than average. So, you keep him. But the question is, what did they do after that? And again, it's hard to speculate what the Packers might do with James Jones here, but... You know, I think the Packers will keep six wide receivers. Is it Torrey Gurley? Is it Jarrett Boykin? Is it DeAndre Burrell? Right now, I'm leaning towards Torrey Gurley. He's got so many factors working in his favor. Finally put together a good performance last night. Did kind of had one drop that was a tough catch. You know, was kind of overthrown a little bit. But, you know, I think because of his size... Because of his special teams ability, and we're not just talking punt blocking here. I just think he's a big body that can be used on special teams in other ways as well, including kickoff return. He showed that when he helps bring Otis Merrill for a 60-yard return. But I think Torrey Gurley gets the nod over anybody else. I like what Jarrett Boykin has done this offseason. You know, perhaps if the Packers go ahead and trade James Jones, maybe there's room for Jarrett Boykin. Maybe there's room for him then, if the Packers still keep six. And you know, I like DeAndre Burrell too. He perhaps hasn't played as well as some other players, but I'll tell you what, of Torrey Gurley and Jarrett Boykin, DeAndre Burrell is probably faster than both of them. He's got that going for him. Really athletic. He was a quarterback at Utah State. He can kind of maybe be your emergency quarterback. Of course, the Packers have Randall Cobb for that too. But DeAndre Burrell done a lot of kick returning and punt returns during this offseason. He's a backup there to Randall Cobb.
John Drama says on the live blog, Burrell's a poor man's Cobb. He kind of is. You know, and there's, you know, I like DeAndre Burrell. I hope if he's cut, the Packers invite him back to the roster squad again, you know, assuming he's not waived, you know, claimed on waivers, assuming nobody else wants him out there. I'd take him back on the practice squad, you know. Remember, he's still making the transition to wide receiver after playing quarterback in college.
But so, you know, let's go through the whole every position here on the roster and kind of look at this as cuts have to be made officially by 8 p.m. Central Time this evening. Now, what's probably going to happen is you're going to hear, you know, news pouring in throughout the day of players that were cut as the Packers inform players they're cut. You're going to hear news leaked, but nothing is going to be finalized probably until 8 p.m. Central Time tonight, when is the deadline for teams to inform the league office of the roster. And you know, I'm going to publish my prediction here right after the show. So here's your last chance to convince me of anything, any players the Packers should cut or keep or however you want to take this direction. If you want to call in and share your thoughts, feel free. Phone lines are open 347-352-0154. Phone numbers up on the screen on our live stream feed. So, but quarterback, Packers going to keep two. Like I said, we talked about it already. Graham Harrell, I think, has solidified his position on the team. The only question is if the Packers keep three, and I don't think they will. I think they keep two. I think B.J. Coleman's cut. And there's a little bit of worry that you know, that he could be claimed on waivers by another team. But I don't think that's going to happen because no team in the NFL is going to want, first of all, B.J. Coleman to be their number two, their backup quarterback. And it's probably not likely that they're going to want to keep him to be third and keep him on their 53-man roster. You know, there are probably other teams out there that may be interested in him as their third quarterback, but on their practice squad. And if the Packers are already offering him a spot on the practice squad, all things being equal, he's going to stay in Green Bay. So, you know, I think that's the way things are going to work out. I don't, you know, think there's, you know, much question there. Leviticus 268 says on the live blog, the kid has an arm, though. Oh, certainly does. No doubt about it. I really like what B.J. Coleman's doing. I'd like to see what he can do a year from now. Who knows? Maybe even by mid-season, he'll be, you know, up on the Packers 53. Who knows? Who knows? I do like B.J. Coleman, though. Running back is an extremely difficult position to predict, particularly because I have no clue what the Packers are going to do with James Starks. Literally, the Packers could go one of four directions with James Starks. Literally. And you know, some of these options are more, you know, likely than others. But here's what the Packers could do with James Starks. They could keep him on the 53-man roster, even though he's kind of battling through this turf toe injury. You know, just status quo, keep him on the 53. Or, if it's really that bad of injury where he's going to miss several weeks, they could place him on injured reserve and end his season. Or, option C, they could make him part of the new injured reserve rule in which a player can come off later in the season after at least 6 weeks. You know, maybe that's an option, not saying it's a likely one. Or option D, maybe the Packers just decide, this guy's been injured since college, maybe let's cut our losses and just get rid of him. I'm thinking the most likely scenario, for the time being at least, is that he's on the 53. Even if they were to do that weird new injured reserve rule with him, apparently he's got to be on the 53-man roster first. So I'm putting James Starks on my 53-man roster. That's what they do with him. So
Kevin Lamb on the live blog says, I think they IR Starks after Mike McCarthy's comments this week. Could certainly be the case. I have no clue what they do with them. I really don't. I'm going to guess they keep them, but, you know, who knows? Who knows? But Cedric Benson has the team made. Alex Green has the team made. John Kuhn has the team made. A little bit of question about whether the Packers will keep Brandon Saint. Kind of thought he would play in last night's game. He wasn't on the inactive list, but Packers not wanting to take any chances after he suffered a hamstring injury earlier during training camp. So do the Packers keep Brandon Saint? My prediction right now is they do, but I don't know. We've already talked a lot about wide receiver. I think the tight end position is pretty much cut and dried. There's a little bit of injury concerns there with several players from Tom Crabtree, DJ Williams, Ryan Taylor. But I think, you know, the Packers keep four tight ends, JerMichael Finley, Crabtree, Williams, Taylor. I think they keep those four. You know, maybe they're injured and have to miss a week or two during the season. Not really a big deal if they're only missing a week or two because, you know, seven people have to be inactive on game days anyway, so they're just part of those seven. And Andrew Corliss is on the PUP list to begin the season. You know, maybe he comes back at midseason, but we'll worry about that later. You know, Packers keep four at tight end, cut and dried. Offensive line, another difficult thing to predict. Starting offensive line is intact. From left to right, you've got Newhouse, Lang, Saturday, Sitton, Belaga. No questions there about the 53, right? Evan Dietrich Smith, backup center and backup interior offensive lineman. You know, his spot is assured. Beyond that, so you've got six who are guaranteed. I think what the Packers do after that, my prediction is they'll keep Derek Sherrod on the PUP list. You know, they'll put him on the reserve PUP. He'll come back at midseason. I know there's been speculation that he may be on the 53. If he's only out for a week, maybe two, the Packers just try to get by without him for a week or two as he continues to rehabilitate, get better, get more healthy. But, you know, I think the Packers put Sherrod on PUP. And I think they keep Reggie Wells around, veteran Reggie Wells, formerly of the Cardinals, the Eagles, the Panthers, to stick around at least until Sherrod comes back. He's your backup tackle for that time being. You know, if anything were to happen injury-wise to Newhouse, Belaga, things like that. He can play other positions in a pinch as well. But, you know, I think the Packers keep Wells around. It maybe when Sherrod comes back, then maybe Wells goes. Who knows what will happen in 6 weeks. The tough position is after that. So that's seven offensive linemen the Packers keeping. They'll at least keep eight for sure, no doubt about it. Problem is, who do they keep at number eight? I'm predicting the Packers don't keep Andrew Datko. I'm predicting either he's placed on injured reserve because he has a concussion, or he's cut and signed to the practice squad. I don't know. Either way, if either of those things were to happen, he's not in the 53. It could certainly, if they put him on the practice squad, they could bring him up to the 53 later. But this injury situation is just so uncertain with him, I can't see him keeping him for the time being, which I think opens up a spot for Don Barclay. My prediction right now, the Packers keep Don Barclay. He's a guy who's played both guard and tackle, left and right. He's got that going for him, seems to have progressed it since training camp has started. I've debated myself for several weeks whether the Packers could go the route of picking up a waiver wire offensive lineman from another team. Basically you're choosing against that or Don Barclay. You know, are you going to keep Don Barclay or do you want to really go out on a limb and try to find somebody from another team? Basically an uncertain player who you think might have some potential, but you don't really know until you get him in town. And I think the Packers go with the known quantity. They keep a guy like Don Barclay or, you know, perhaps Andrew Dadko if they really feel he's healthy. Or maybe a guy like Greg Van Roten, Tommy Draheim. But, you know, Don Barclay seems to be the most likely guy to be the eighth Packers offense. I don't think they keep nine unless they keep Derek Sherrod or perhaps pick up a waiver wire guy. You know, a little bit of a risk keeping eight offensive linemen, but, you know, they could be up to nine when Sherrod comes back off PUP. Defensive line, another. Like tight end, I think it's cut and dried. The Packers keeping six defensive linemen. They're going to keep B.J. Raji, Ryan Pickett, Daniel Muir, C.J. Wilson, and the rookies, Jarrell Worthy and Mike Daniels. I think that's pretty cut and dried. Yeah, Philip Merling making a statement, making an argument to be kept, but I just don't think you keep him. You know, what you do is you keep Philip Merling's phone number in your back pocket in case there's injuries at midseason, and, you know, you can call him if you really need him. And Mike Neal suspended to start the season. I think he'll make the team. He can't be back till after week four. Lawrence Guy, I think the Packers cut, could be a candidate for the practice squad. Could be. Outside linebackers, another interesting situation here. They obviously keep Clay Matthews, obviously keep Nick Perry, obviously keep Desmond Moses. Here's where it gets weird. Eric Walden, I think, has earned himself a spot on the team, but he's suspended for week one. So what do you do with Eric Walden? I think you actually, I don't know how you want to state this or what it technically is considered. I think the Packers will get through with only 52 players the first week of the season, just because Eric Walden doesn't count against the roster while he's suspended, because I don't think they're going to want to cut anyone after 1 week. Unless, and here's the kicker, maybe with Eric Walden being suspended and off the roster for 1 week, maybe that's an opportunity right there, your free chance to pick up a waiver wire player from some other team, basically for free. Basically, for 1 week, you get to see, is this player they may pick up worth keeping around? And if not, we can cut him after a week and bring Eric Walden back. But if he's really good, this waiver wire guy, maybe you cut somebody else. I don't know. It's a weird situation, a possibility open to the Packers. I think Vic Soto is cut, but for those Vic Soto fans out there, he is eligible for the practice squad, could be found there. And Brad Jones, wow. Brad Jones, I'm predicting him to make the roster. He was one of the last guys I'm thinking they keep, and he has a lot of things working in his favor. First of all, Brad Jones is a good special teams guy. Second of all, he can play inside linebacker like he did the whole game last night practically. So he's really versatile, and it helps that there's, you know, this injury situation at inside linebacker. Bishop is done for at least for several weeks. And then, you know, Rob Francois, Jamari Lattimore didn't play last night. So Brad Jones, perhaps, helped out by the injury situation. One of the last players to make the roster, I think. Inside linebacker, again, a lot of uncertainty. Desmond Bishop. So, first of all here, the Packers have, until today, if they want Desmond Bishop to be that player who can come off injured reserve later in the season, they have to make that distinction with him by today. Deadline. However, I don't think that's going to happen. I think Desmond Bishop's just going to be on injured reserve. I don't think, because what has to happen is you have to keep this player on your 53-man roster, at least temporarily. Desmond Bishop would have to be part of the 53. I just don't think you don't screw around with the torn hamstring. That is a debilitating injury. You know, have you ever seen somebody with a torn hamstring before? It's unbelievable. A person with a torn hamstring, the back of their leg looks purple. That's not even a joke. It looks purple. It is like, and it's no small thing either. It like your whole back of your calf is just like this weird purple color, and it just debilitates people. And I think you just, you know, put Desmond Bishop at an injured reserve, let him get healthy, and let him get ready for next season. So that's I think what you do there. AJ Hawk, DJ Smith, assured of roster spots. I think even though they're dealing with some injuries, I think Rob Francois and Jamari Lattimore make the team. And the toughest cut is fifth-round draft choice Terrell Manning, who the Packers, yes, traded up to get in the draft. He just hasn't showed enough. I think you cut him, you put him on your practice squad, and hopefully develop him. I don't even know if he makes it to the practice squad, though. He's the kind of guy who maybe a 4-3 defensive team out there would pick up on waivers and think maybe he's a better fit for a 4-3. Who knows? Cornerback, Tremont Williams, Sam Shields, Casey Hayward, Jarrett Bush all make it. Devon House, I think, makes it on the 53. There's some question whether Devon House could be used for the new injured reserve rule. I really do think he might be a likely choice for that because, you know, maybe you just give him some time to heal and maybe at midseason he's a little bit better player. Who knows? But regardless, he would have to be part of the 53 to begin. And so there you go. There's your five cornerbacks. The Packers cut Brandon Ross and Otis Merrill. Maybe one of them is asked to the practice squad. Who knows? Safety, one of the toughest positions to predict. Charles Woodson makes the team, obviously. Morgan Burnett makes the team, obviously. Jerron McMillan makes the team, even if he's not a starter. You're just not going to cut him. And I think the fourth best safety is Sean Richardson. I think he is ahead of both Anthony Levine and MD Jennings. Just based upon what I've seen, I think he's ahead of them. And you know, a lot of it has to do with special teams. I think you'd rather have Sean Richardson on special teams. But yeah, I mean, but then on top of that, do you keep one of the two, MD Jennings or Anthony Levine? You know, I've got the Packers keeping MD Jennings and keeping Anthony Levine. But to tell you the truth, it wouldn't surprise me if they cut both of them. You know, really, what has MD Jennings ever shown? He's never shown me anything in a game. Anything. There was some good feel-good stories written this off-season about MD Jennings, but that was off-season practice. MD Jennings has never really shown me anything special in a game. You know, and he did, I guess he played okay on special teams last year, and for that reason alone, maybe you keep him for some depth at safety. But he's literally, like, I think could be like the 53rd player on the roster. You know, him and Brad Jones, maybe. So, you know, there you go. As specialists, Packers keep Crosby, Maste, and Goode. I don't, you know, there's no debate there at all. So there you go. Ran through the whole roster here. And that's where I'm at with the 53-man roster. But there's so much uncertainty at several positions: wide receiver, running back, safety, inside linebacker, outside linebacker, and even offensive line. A lot of things the Packers could do at those positions. There's only a few that I think are really cut and dried. I think quarterbacks cut and dried, tight ends cut and dried, defensive lines cut and dried, cornerback cut and dried. That might be it. A lot of different ways the Packers could go. Like I said, folks, you're going to be seeing news kind of leaking out throughout the day. You know, it's not good news, but, you know, eventually here the Packers will be calling players into the office, informing they've been cut, and then, you know, the players themselves might, you know, let know on Twitter or whatever. So news is going to be leaked, but probably nothing official until 8 p.m. tonight. We wait to hear news about Desmond Bishop. We wait to hear news about James Jones. A lot of interesting stuff. You know, a busy, busy day. Busy, busy day. You're a football fan. You got to love it. A lot of news coming down the pike today. College football got started last night. Aaron Rodgers' brother, Jordan Rodgers, gave South Carolina a run for their money. More games on the docket tonight. Boise State, Michigan State, then Tennessee, North Carolina State. Good weekend of action this Saturday. All sorts of stuff. So stay tuned, folks. A lot of fun. A lot of fun. So on behalf of John Rahor, on behalf of Jamie Jorz, I'm Brian Kirivu. That'll do it for Railbird Central today. We'll be back again on Monday with a new episode coming your way. So be prepared for that. And I'm Brian Kirivu. We'll see you later, everyone. Go Pack, go. Stay tuned. I'll be publishing my 53-man roster prediction shortly. See you later, everyone. See you.